I'm Christine Dean, and this is Live from Studio A. And joining us today is a guy from the Twin Cities, Mike Michael, and he was also in the Bill Mike Band. You might remember them. But he is playing solo now. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you doing? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing great. Thanks for coming in. And it's really wonderful that you're here, because there has been a period of time recently where you weren't sure that you were going to be able to do music again.
About 3 years I had to take some time off music and not listen to music. And so, yeah, it's quite miraculous, actually, that I'm here. So I'm extremely happy. So,
well, we're going to find out more about that. Let's have you start with a tune, and
Absolutely.
Then we'll come back and chat. What do you want to start with?
Sure. This is called Full of Positives, and it's about finding sense of purpose. Here we go.
It's the sun and the air that keeps you open to something. Rumination leads to destruction. Wounds in constant motion. So engaging, rearranging the bleak feelings that crush you. It's okay to separate from expectations that haunt you. You took a dive, fragments survive. The full of positives regenerates you at your core. You look for reasons, you look for safety, not to face your opponent. No more aiding, no more raging, 'cause illness can take you over. There's no one way or a runway, no magic pill or potion. Liberation comes with patience. Don't forget to treat yourself holy. You took a dive, fragments survive. The full of positives regenerates you at your core. You took a dive, fragments survive. The full of positives regenerates you at your core. Your liberation. Your liberation. Your liberation. Your liberation.
That is Mike Michael, live from Studio A, and a tune from his new album, On the Mend. And how long ago did this come out?
It just came out.
Just Right now.
Just right now. Summer.
This is the release party right here.
It's right here.
Okay, just kidding.
Good place to be.
So, you know, it's you're kind of in a, it's almost miraculous that you're here making this music today. So tell me, what were you doing musically when you first got this diagnosis or when you first got tinnitus? What kind of projects were you working on? You were teaching?
Sure, I was teaching.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do a lot of group and community music programs in Minneapolis, based out of Minneapolis. And I was in a band called Salty, which is with a cellist named Jacqueline Alton, who plays with Jello Slave. And she does music for Kevin Kling, a lot of his performances. And then Carnage the Executioner, the best beatboxer in Minnesota. So we had a real interesting little trio going on. I don't know how to describe it, but a cellist, beatboxer, electric guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it.
It's like the first thing of its kind, so nobody's named it
yet.
Yeah,
so it was called Salty. And Thanksgiving of 2013, I was going through some heavy stuff with a lawsuit, so there's some emotional stuff going on, quite deep. And Thanksgiving, I remember waking up and just being bombarded with multiple noises in my head, and I thought, let's see, I just swam, and I flew to, took a flight to Boulder and all this kind of stuff, something. Oh, it's just water in my ear. But it was pretty crazy. So did the traditional diagnosis, went to the general practitioner and ENT and audiologist, and they said it's probably tinnitus. And I remembered that my dad, when he was 40, got a dose of it too. So I'm thinking, oh, man. And then from there, it unfortunately kept progressing to where it was becoming disabling. And without going into saga, because I'm doing much better now, so I don't want to bring everybody down over the airwaves, but I developed hyperacusis, which usually comes with severe tinnitus, or tinnitus, however you want to pronounce it. It's tomato, tomato. So, and that becomes, that's called sensitivity to sound. And the misnomer is about all these audio-related conditions that, you know, 50 million Americans have, is that it's ear-based, and it's not. So it's brain-based. And that's the mystery of our brain conditions, whether it's Parkinson's or what I have, is that we finally, there's such creative forces in the medical world with great ideas, but we haven't had the technology to back up the theories. So right now, technology is kind of catching up, in my opinion, with the brilliance of our medical professionals, especially neurologists. And they're excited. They call it the new frontier of the brain. So what you're dealing with is an unknown condition, and that's kind of been the bummer for me, is kind of on your own.
Well, and there were a lot of things about your story that you know, I think people have a lot of misconceptions about this condition. And, like, I didn't know that it could come on so suddenly like that.
Yes. And the other thing is, you know, you hear lots of musicians or people that work around audio. So I think about audio to me as more stimuli to the central nervous system versus just loud noise. And how you're hardwired determines how you react to that stimuli and how you process that stimuli. And for me, I know kind of where I was in my life. And what they're finding out, it's really fascinating, is that, you know, let's say right now, it's very cool in the studio because all the gear. And so there's machines running that you and I aren't paying attention to because we're focused on conversation. So in our brain, the gating systems are blocking that sound up. And the tinnitus patient, your gating systems are either genetically off or through various, head injury. I know a bunch of guys that have been through chemo that got it. Ototoxic medicines, some antibiotics. So, and they affect your gating system. So basically all you're really doing is you're listening to your internal sounds that you're not supposed to be hearing. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the crux of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, and some people can nap it off and go, yeah, I have a bunch of noises in my head and I'm going to go take a nap and go about my daily life. And, but for a musician, it's kind of,
and there are different levels of severity as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, you got it. Just like any other condition. So,
And so did that immediately prevent you from, and how you developed, what's the name of the sensitivity to sound?
Hyperacusis.
Did you develop that quickly afterwards? Or?
It was gradual.
Okay, okay.
And
because
and
that sounds like it would really prevent you from that doing
is,
anything.
That is mm-hmm. really the ticket. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, through that experience, you really develop a fear of sound. I was literally fearful of playing the guitar or hearing a baby crying or...
Because how would that feel for you?
It would hurt. So there's some, you know, part of it is psychological, but part of it really, it's physiological. So, you know, you develop a new neural system where your brain and your auditory system is on the defense. So it's trying to protect you. It's actually trying to do a job. And so our brain's plastic. You can really... Rewiring is a real thing. And so I became hypersensitive to sound. So I'm retraining my brain through a system called tinnitus retraining therapy, which is on a subconscious level that distracts your brain from focusing on the own sounds it's producing in the auditory tract. And I'm midway. And so it's all neurological. It's really, it's at the same time, it's been quite exhausting, but at the same time, really fascinating. Mm-hmm. It's weird to think, you know, something that's been kind of devastating to me is, but it's turned into this love of the brain.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just in really protecting it and really kind of changing my lifestyle and adjusting to how are you going to handle stress, because the auditory system and your fight or flight or freeze system, the limbic system, are completely
right
linked.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but the joy is that picking up an acoustic, specifically a classical guitar, about 2 years ago, and I realized that that didn't affect me.
Interesting.
Because I sold most of my gear, packed it away, didn't even look at. It kind of got me sick to my stomach to even look at an amplifier.
And how long after the diagnosis did you have to stop doing music?
I let a lot of students go and quit performing right away.
And I did find it slightly amusing. You said I could still do have students who liked mellow things, like
yes.
James Taylor.
Oh, that was a blessing. That was give me some JT. Give me some JT.
Just if you play quietly, yeah.
Yeah. So that's the sort of the medical end of things. But I know it's really interesting. I think everybody listening and probably know somebody that has some variation of this. It's pretty, the more you, I started digging into, and I took a bunch of science studies at the U of M in their Twin Cities campus, and it's pretty overwhelming how many people have a variation of this.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm. And so you had to stop doing music for a while, and it sounds like you were in a bad place for a while.
Yeah.
And then you started kind of looking into, okay, what can I do? Was there a moment that you kind of felt that? And there was a really interesting quote from you in one of the interviews that I read, which was that you didn't know that you were resilient before, but because of this, you feel like you are. And I thought that was really interesting.
You know, I'm lucky in that sense, and I learned a lot. You know, getting something like this, I think everybody has had something, is going through something. You know, we all have our ailments. And I just have great empathy for people that are going through anything. And when you're kind of in it, you look around, you realize how many people are really in something. And but I, you know, this has definitely been a test. If I weren't a musician, it would still be really challenging. But I think throwing the music in on it is, that's my occupation. It's the way I survive. So that was just extra stressful. But yeah, resiliency, I'm taking a crash course in that and succeeding, fortunately. But I've had a lot of inspiration around me, a lot of people going through heavier things and coming through those. So that's been a really good source of inspiration for me. So
okay. Well, let's hear another song, and then we'll come back and chat some more.
Sure.
What do you want to do next?
Let's see. What can we do? This song is called Getting It Wrong. And this goes out to the students of the Performance Institute of Minnesota. Eden Prairie. I taught a semester there, and they were really inspiring young musicians. So they were resilient people, too. So.
Invisible and outer's test beliefs, real as an open wound. Empathy, you need you, judged by others, called for weakness. How you feeling? What are you thinking? Is it getting wrong? Getting wrong? Yeah, getting wrong. Getting wrong? Yeah, getting wrong. Getting wrong? Yeah. Get her wrong, get her wrong.
Mike Michael, live from Studio A, and another one from his new album, On the Mend. And heavily influenced, tunes heavily influenced by what you've been going through the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
When did you first, so tell me about some of the techniques that you found that helped you.
Sure. For managerial stuff, so it's an East meets West blend for me. So the concept of mindfulness on paper looks really simple, but for an OCD-er, you know, alpha, high energy, no sleep kind of guy. Mindfulness, I laughed at that. I was like, are you kidding me? But over a couple of years with some guidance on that. So mindfulness counseling has been pretty exceptional. That's really helped focus my kind of OCD, which is a whole nother 10 conversations that you don't want to talk about. But that was aiding the tinnitus for sure. So taking care of that has been really great. Meditation. I do a really cool thing I highly recommend to anybody for de-stressing or any body ailments, osteopathy and cranial sacral therapy, which is massaging the brain and making sure all the cerebral spinal fluid in your brain is healing each section of the brain. So for people who get head injuries or concussions, it's really essential to check something like that out. So doing that, lifestyle adjustment. I'm in bed at 12 or 12:30 and not 2 or 2:30. Sleep seems to be, for me, the biggest deal, because for brain gating issues like tinnitus, you need your chemical levels to be refueled overnight. Otherwise, the next day is just shot, where your tinnitus is kind of in your face. So the brain chemicals help the gating systems function properly. So that's really important for being a musician. So lifestyle readjustment. I do some non-ototoxic sleep medication. That's really helped. And some general, some light medication. Ototoxic means it's not going to affect your auditory tract. And then the tinnitus retraining therapy, and there's tons of other things.
And you gave up caffeine.
Not dark chocolate.
Oh, good.
Which I had a little up on the car ride home because I needed to be focused for you. But yeah, generally caffeine's out the door for me. It really depends on everybody. I kind of took the extreme route, but I had an extreme case, so I kind of went there. But yeah, no caffeine. Low alcohol content, low salt content. Everything sort of affects the capillaries. And that can spike your tinnitus. So,
and when did you start to feel like, okay, maybe I can try playing the guitar again?
Writing a song on an old classical guitar. I looked into going back into college and other occupations and did that, and pretty much had in my mind that was over. Music was gone. And then it sounds really dramatic and really Disney-like, but I wrote a song in like 5 minutes on the guitar, just an instrumental, and I realized that because I invested all my life into this occupation and I put the Vegas chips on down on music, that sense of purpose for me, I think for any recovery, sense of purpose is the number one motivator to get better. So there was motivation to get better and to not accept. There's a lot of really great medical doctors who painted a very grim picture in refusing to accept that answer from them and knowing that everybody's on their individual path of healing if they're going through something. So sense of purpose through music was the soul lift. That was it.
Have you been able to go back to any of those doctors and say, na 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 boo boo?
I've included them on the record as trying to help me because they were wonderful people. Mm-hmm. But part of this little record and this campaign, which I'm doing with a really great person, Adam Wahlberg out of Twin Cities, and he has a wonderful publishing company called Think Piece. And Think Piece puts out books and music about mental health, resiliency, wellness. And I'm the second record that Adam helped put out. And the first one was Adam Levy from the Honey Dogs. And Knob and Way was his record. I look at everybody that tried to help me as just a collective. And everybody tried. But really, this is about raising awareness within the health community that there are actually tons of cool things that you can do for these ailments.
And you are so kind, you put that information on your records.
Yes.
So that there are all sorts of resources for anybody that might be dealing with tinnitus.
And if you just type in Mike Michael, M-I-C-H-E-L, on my website, if you email me, I have a musician's guide to tinnitus and hyperacusis that I put together over the last year that is a PDF, and I'm happy to send that in to anybody. Because if you go on Google, the outlook for what this isn't, you really have to dig. It took me about almost a year to find the two or three, you know, hopeful practitioners that kind of had like some remedies for this that have really worked. So there's a lot of doom and gloom on the internet. So I highly don't recommend Googling all day, but So I'm happy to give that PDF to anybody. So,
mm-hmm. Well, and that's wonderful that you kind of did a lot of legwork on that, and you're sharing
OCD.
It with other people now.
That's the benefit of
sometimes
OCD.
Sometimes it's a blessing.
Just once in a while, not a lot, but once in a while.
Well, I think I read that the things that you've been doing for the tinnitus and the other condition are also helping with your OCD. Is that right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, which must be kind of a wonderful.
It's new.
Unexpected bonus.
It's new.
Because when you are a person, you know, I tend to have an anxious brain, and when you are a person with that kind of brain, anything that helps you shut that off at all is like, wow, that's really
right.
Wonderful.
We're good helper bees, and we get stuff done, but we need to chill once
exactly,
in a while.
Exactly, exactly. Well, let's hear one more. What do you want to do here?
This is called One Little Blessing. And so when I was going through my stuff, still kind of am, but I'm much better, I would look out my window of my house, and about a block away is the Vision Resource Center. And every weekday during the early morning, there are people that are either blind or going blind being trained on how to walk within city limits. And so I'd look out the window and I would go, oh my God, I'm not doing great, but okay, they are, that is a resilient person. That is beyond my comprehension. So I thought about in life, because we're so on the go in this busy modern life, the smallest things, the cliche things, somebody holding a door. You know, somebody let me in the long line on the way up here in that construction zone about 20 miles south of here. Somebody just let me in. Stuff like that, I'm really mindful of that now. And I realize that that's what life's about, is the little moments during the day. And so instead of a lot of futuristic thinking about the one cool thing, it's I'm just going to enjoy all the cool stuff and all the cool people. So that's kind of what it's about. So One Little Blessing.
Forget to mend this disaster with some guidance and light. Improves you. One little blessing finally has arrived. You get a break, you get a blessing cleanses your mind today. I need a change, I need a change. One little blessing finally has arrived. You get a break, you get a break. blessing cleanses your mind today. I need a change, I need a change. One little blessing.
That's Mike Michael live from Studio A, another tune from his On the Mend album. So when did you start being able to actually listen to other people's music again?
Well, you know, it's really just up until recently I've been part of the training or retraining is to face the fears. So you retrain the deepest part of your brain is called the amygdala, and it's the fight or flight. And you could talk all day and go, amygdala, I'm just going to enjoy music and life's good. And cognitive thinking doesn't work. You actually have to do physical action. So I would sneak into, so I didn't see live music for about 3 years. So I started sneaking into coffee houses, watching people. And I'd stand in the back and I'd stay for 30 seconds and I'd leave and go, all right. You know, I'd have earplugs in and all that kind of stuff. And you kind of build yourself up. Then I go to the grocery store without earplugs. And then it's tests. So a couple times a week, I'll just do these mini audio tests. And it's just, so the fear is lessened quite a bit. I'm not quite ready for prime time. But, and then I did a couple clubs where I would hang away from the PA speakers and just, and you know, use a lot of methods to calm down heart rate and stuff like that, and think about how joyous it is to see live music, because it's the best. And so those are some of the methods. It's literally just facing the fear, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you've come as far as you have, and
so am I. Thanks for having me.
And did you say at the beginning you're hoping to be back to electric guitar?
I dabbled a little at a CD release down in Twin Cities, and surprisingly, I got through that, and that was really great. I took, you know, I don't use monitors on stage and wear earplugs and all that kind of stuff. So I've had to learn how to sing just listening to my vibrations, my internal vibrations, and that's been cool. You know, I'm just happy to, like, be playing tonight. So.
And did you earlier in your career, did you start out just you and a guitar, like what you're doing now?
I've always written on acoustic guitar, but I've always been in hip-hop bands, rock bands, art rock bands. So the acoustic is not unfamiliar since it's been my main writing source, but to be a singer-songwriter is a new avenue for me, and I have this profound respect. So what I've been noticing about singer-songwriters who've been doing this a while is how grounded they are when they perform. So I'm sort of a spazzo on stage, just rock and roll and Red Hot Chili Peppers and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I realized that the really gifted singer-songwriters just have the zen, they can focus. It's really amazing to watch. So I've been learning a lot from a lot of the singer-songwriters that I used to play guitar for as a studio musician, and really remembering how they operated and how they sang and how they performed. And it's different. It's a whole different grounding is the only thing I can think of, where they are still. There's not a part of them that's shaking. Like right now I'm ready to play, so I have to train myself to chill a little bit and focus on the lyrics and the vocals.
But you know, you're a very talented guitarist, and so you get your fingers doing that.
I know. It's the balance. I'm still finding the fine balance between really, you know, delivering hopefully good messages and but still get my guitar lollies, you know, going.
Well, so. And it is really interesting, you know, that just from a perspective of having to suddenly perform in a different way, it kind of throws you these challenges that have nothing to do with physical challenges.
Right.
They just have to do with performance challenges.
Absolutely.
And I'm just one guy on stage with my guitar.
Yeah,
right away.
It's a profound respect. Or an instrumentalist, like you know, somebody's a guest spot on with a symphony orchestra. I can't imagine That's an amazing resiliency right there. So,
Well, congratulations on the new album.
Thank you.
And good luck on continuing your path of recovery.
Yep.
And we look forward to hearing more from you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Maya Jensen and Cheyenne Vavrina, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Thanks for listening.